Are you enjoying the rest? Are you looking forward to game one? People always ask that silly question. Can there ever be too much rest? Or did you guys relish the break and need a couple of days away from the rink?
I thought the break was good for us, especially having a couple of key guys hurt. You know, Zetterberg didn't play at all in the first round, and Fronson didn't play in our last game four out in Phoenix. So I think it'll be good for our team to get a few days rest. But now we're looking forward to getting going here again in the second round.
But isn't that part of the challenge, Nick, after all these years, is teaching a lot of the young players to learn to pace yourself in the postseason for the marathon, to make sure you get your rest and not get too high so you're fresh mentally and physically day-to-day?
Yeah, and you have to stay focused, too. You can't start relaxing too much. You still have to know what the task at hand and get ready for that next round. So, you know, staying focused and trying to keep that intensity up in practice is going to be important.
Yesterday, it's announced you're a Norris Trophy nominee. You've won the trophy six times. You can tell us, I'm sure it never gets old, but is it the same level of excitement as when you get your first nomination and someone says, we think you're one of the best three defensemen in the game? Is it still always that special honor?
It is a special honor, especially as you get older. I think I appreciate it even more as you get older and know what it takes to go through all the grueling off-season workouts to get ready for a long year. So I appreciate it even more as I get older here.
You've always had a sense of humility about you, Nick, but do you almost think it's surreal to think that you're being mentioned now that you've had this nomination in the same sentence as Bobby Orr?
Yeah, you know, I think Bobby Orr, I've only watched tapes and films of him and how great of a player he was, so I don't think I'm up to his caliber, so I'm honored to be mentioned when his name is mentioned.
Nicholas Lidstrom, our guest from the Detroit Red Wings, they'll face an opponent that they don't know of yet. Give me your reaction. You had so many battles with Chicago. In fact, you tried as best you could to knock them out of the playoffs a couple Sundays ago, and they got some help from the Minnesota Wild and got in. But what a series. You've been involved in these kind of knock-em-down, drag-out series going to a Game 7 tonight. Will you watch with excitement to see, of course, you know Daniel and Henrik and a few other guys in this series very well.
Yeah, I'm going to try to stay up and watch the game. I think it'll be an exciting game. You know, especially this year's playoffs has been kind of wild with teams coming back from being down 3 or 4-0 in games and in series as well. You know, they were down 3-0 in the series. So it's been somewhat a surprising, you know, turnout in some of the games. But it's been exciting to watch. And you can't turn the TV off when it's 3-0 to one team because the other team's got a chance to come back still. So it's been very exciting to watch.
When you evaluate your team, the Red Wings, Nick, after what you did in the first round and what's going on in the other series, does it give you a different perspective of how capable your team is of going all the way to the Cup Final?
Yeah, I think we got as big of a chance as the rest of the teams, especially with the parity that we have in the league right now. You know, looking at the number one seed playing a game against 7 against the number 8 seed, and that's maybe 10 years ago, you didn't see that too often. But you know, nowadays, it's so close, all the games, that you can't take anything for granted. So I think we have a bigger shot as the rest of the teams are still in the playoffs.
Getting through and getting the rest, there have been many times, and almost every single time you guys have won the Stanley Cup, you've been pushed in the first round. There was Vancouver leading you guys 2-0, and the Blues always gave you a tough time. But I felt like even last year, the Coyotes pushed you so much to the brink that it's not, you guys could have won each of those five games with the San Jose Sharks, but again, it's nice to get the rest. When you have to go 7 games in the first round, it's a real quick turnaround. I'd even say that series you beat St. Louis when Yzerman got the big goal, the Avalanche then wins the first 2 games in your building. It's tough to turn around and get a new series going 2 days later, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be hard, especially you're coming off such a high, and then 2 days later you got to be ready for a new team that you haven't had a chance to really go over that close as you usually do in the playoffs. So sometimes it can be hard, and you know, sometimes you're riding on that high still that you just keep playing the way you did you know, 2 nights before. So it's you never know what's going to happen, but it's, you know, if you have a chance to get the rest or you have a chance to close the team out, you want to take advantage of that.
What is it about the Red Wings, Nick, that has such an aura about the team? Other people look at the Red Wings and think, why can't we be like them and be successful as them? Some have tried, but others have failed. Why has it worked so well in Detroit for you and that team there to be successful seemingly year after year after year?
You know, I think Ken Holland has done a great job of trying to keep a core group of guys for a long period of time, guys that he believed in, and you know, Scotty Bowman was a big part of that too in the 90s, where they brought some guys in that he, you know, thought could win for the team. So I think just keeping the core guys for a long period of time has really helped us. And then they find some great draft picks. Looking at Henrik Zetterberg or Pavel Datsyuk, they're not high round first or second rounders. They're later in the draft, they've been able to find those kinds of players. So I think just the organization and the scouting department has done a great job.
All right, now, amazingly, it's kind of a coincidence. We had your teammate and fellow gold medalist, Peter Forsberger. He had so many great rivalry games with on the show yesterday. He had an interesting comment. I want you to listen to what he said about trying to be physical with you in some of these Avalanche Red Wings series. Here's Peter Forsberg.
You know, I was trying to run him for 10 years in the league. I never got him.
You must have got one good tag on him. You had to.
You know, I don't think I can show one hit. And I was trying, because he always put a, you know, Lidstrom on the board. You put a circle around him. You try to, this guy was got a hit. And at the end of the game, there was nobody to hit him.
Now, Peter's got, I'm sure that's been a strategy, and I'm sure Peter's joked about it, but you hear that, and you're laughing, and you think, well, of course he's tried to hit me. I was just too quick for him. How do you avoid when a player or a team targets you and says, you know what, Lidstrom, we got to get more physical with him because you seem to be able to avoid it?
Well, you know it's going to happen even more in the playoffs. Teams are you know, looking to play more physical. They're trying to play harder on summer guys, and I think I've been one of those guys that teams have been trying to play hard, and you know, I take my licks and I take my hits as well. Sometimes you're in there to make that player get the puck out, so I get hit as much as some of the other guys, but you know, I just try to keep my head up all the time. I'm trying to anticipate plays and reading, you know, where to go with the puck before you get to the puck and looking over your shoulder. So, but I know Peter's hit me more than a few times to hit me and put me into the boards.
Nick, a lot of what goes on in the postseason and on the trip to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, guys chirping and trying to get you off your game. Is there anyone that actually gets you under your skin and, like, actually you lose your temper?
No, you know, it happens a lot more than in the regular season. Guys are chirping a lot more, trying to get under your skin and you know, trying to get you off your game. And, you know, you know it's coming, too. So you're kind of, you know, you're almost expecting, you know, it's going to be there. So I think that's why it's easier to handle. And I think as you get older, I think you know what to expect, too. I think you can handle it a lot better than maybe when you were a young player. So that's just part of the playoffs.
Now, your son, Kevin, I know has turned into quite a player. He's over in Sweden. I want to ask you about that. But I'm curious to know, have you ever had a play? And it's hard to analyze yourself because you're not seeing everything you do. And someone else is, your wife, your kids, somebody who knows you real well says, you know, I watched you on that one play. I watched you go into that. That was a little bit dirty. That was a little bit sneaky because you're never described as that. But have they ever said to you, boy, Dad, you got away with one there? That's not the Nicholas Lidstrom that we think of being the gentlemanly player that's still physical, that still gets all these results. You ever done something like that?
Sure. It has happened, especially with, you know, Kevin is over in Sweden, as I mentioned. I have another son, Adam, that's 15 and really watches the game close. And, you know, I try to tell him things what to do out there. I'm sure he's giving it back to me whenever he can too, and he'll let me know if I did something dirty or if I should have done something differently. And you know, he said, Dad, I thought you should have a penalty there. I think you hooked him a little bit coming out of the corner there. So he'll let me know too. You know, if I'm doing things that he'd, you know, pick up on.
Because it's funny, you probably one of your heroes and kind of ours too, Boris Salmon, growing up. You know, he said when he came over, he was targeted, and guys would do anything they could to get him off his game. It was a different era when you came in, and you had a guy like the great Vladimir Konstantinov coming in as well and Fedosov a little bit later on. But did you feel targeted your first few years? Did you have to just say, this is who I am, I'm standing my ground, you're not going to get to me and throw me off my game, make me take bad penalties and put my team in a bad position?
Yeah, I think it happened, especially the first couple of years. And I think my first year, you know, even my teammates kind of see how I'm going to react to different things and, you know, kind of earn their respect as well to get hit or, you know, someone's in my face or things like that. And I think you have to earn the respect of your teammates too. And I think I did that. I had Brad McCrimmon was my partner for a lot of, for my first, every game actually, my first season. And, you know, he helped me out a lot. And, well, you had some tough guys too, and Proby and later on Stu Grimson, guys that could help us. But, you know, you have to earn their respect as well. So I think I did that, especially my first season over here, just knowing that, you know, this is what's going to happen. And it's fun you mentioned Boris Salming. You know, I had a chance to play with him during Canada Cup in 1991, and he's an idol of mine growing up, so it was a big thrill for me to have a chance to play with him, too.